God. We're in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. How far did we get? Chapter of verse 10? Did we do verse 10? So we stopped when we got to verse 10. Okay. All right. So we were talking about here in chapter 3 about how in the last days things are going to get real tough. They're going to get real tough. And they're going to be, it's going to be peace and war and peace and war and up and down, right? That's how it's going to be. Which means there's not going to be any peace. Because when it's like that, you know war is coming even though you're having a time of peace. And then we were given a list of attributes of unbelieving leaders who are leading people to go the wrong way. And it seems like we have our abundance of them in our country today. But Lord, we pray that they will turn from their wicked ways and follow you to the benefit of us and to your kingdom. So Lord, help us to encourage that. We know that people are going to change. They're going to grow worse and worse and worse as time goes by. We know it because you've told us that, Lord, so we don't have to worry about whether it's true or not. We know it's true. And so Lord, we're praying and asking for your help. That we can continue to get the word out. And then we know, Lord, that there are people out there there's people out there, of course, that don't know the Lord. There's people out there that don't want to know the Lord. There's people out there that maybe want to know the Lord. But there are people out there that say they do know the Lord. But they don't live for the Lord. They just do whatever they want. They don't understand that there's a commitment on the part of the saved to honor God and to support his ways so that he can use them to influence others. That's what he wants. He wants us to be influencers. You know, that's why a lot of these people are getting upset about TikTok. You know, they're getting ready to ban TikTok. Why are they all getting upset? Because a lot of people's lives are built on businesses that are through TikTok because they are social manipulators, right? That's how they make their living. And so if they ban TikTok, they're done. So that's why they're upset. So what we would like to see is that they manipulate people towards the Lord. Amen? Of course, we don't call it manipulation. We call it evangelization. The point is that we need to be calling on people to come to the Lord. Amen? All right, that takes us down to verse 10, and I'm going to read down through verse 12. And this is Paul writing to Timothy and giving him guidance on what's coming, what he's going to be facing, how he can deal with these things. Timothy is a young pastor who's been left to pastor the church there at Ephesus. So Paul's trying to help him out. So here's what he says, starting at verse 10. But you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch. He was there with him. At Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. One way or another, you're going to be left out, told you don't belong, given the cold shoulder, or even worse. Those are just minor things, right? Society does. But it'll be even worse than that. So Paul is telling, emphatically, he's saying to Timothy, but you, I want you to get this. You heard, you submitted, you held, and you followed sound doctrine. As opposed to who? As opposed to false teachers that he is battling. There's false teachers. There was false teachers then. There's false teachers now, right? There's always going to be false teachers. Because the enemy is going to be with us until very near the end. So it's always going to be a battle. That's not going to end. It's going to be that battle. But praise God, the Lord's on our side. And I'm not even going to say we read the end of the book, okay? That goes without saying. Okay, so that's what he's encouraging him to do. Stand up, oppose these false teachers. Keep the doctrine pure. Don't waver, don't give up. Timothy traveled with Paul and saw firsthand some of Paul's persecution. Now, we get a lot of the highlights, don't we, in Scripture? We can go there and see it. He suffered, okay? He suffered. Remember we talked about the Mamertine prison? You know, basically that was a, what do you call, that was a septic tank. Yeah, basically he lived in a septic tank the last part of his life. It was terrible. It was just horrible. So Paul writes of the people in 2 Corinthians. See if I got the right paper here. Okay, looks good. Paul writes of them in 2 Corinthians in 11:24 through 27, and he says this about these people. From the Jews, this is what he suffered. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Jesus suffered, Paul suffered, all the apostles suffered, untold numbers of saints have suffered throughout the years of the church. What makes us think that we're going to get out of it? If we really stand up for the Lord, right? We don't stand up for the Lord much today. I just have to be honest with you. Because if we were, we would be getting some static back. I'll just say that, okay? And probably quite a bit. So we probably have it pretty easy. We can expect to suffer. Why? Because we have a desire in our heart put there by God to imitate Christ. That's what we should all be doing. We should be imitating Christ, speaking the name of the Lord, and giving His message all the time. Yes, Curtis. Of course. Right. That's right. That's right. You're different. The world doesn't like different. It likes all of us to follow them, follow the trend, right? That's why you have fashion trends, because you want to follow the trend. Don't follow the trend, follow the Lord, right? So, because we desire to live according to the righteousness of Christ, that's why we are treated differently. And why do we live that way? To spread the gospel. Thank you, Linda. That is our purpose. That's what the Lord said. Go and make disciples. That means spread the gospel. That's what we're doing with the dental bus. We're spreading the gospel. And when we find out that there are some that already know the gospel and have responded positively, then we can encourage them, can't we? Gave a guy a Bible today. He didn't have a Bible. I said, there's one right there. Just take that one. You mean I can have that Bible? I said, absolutely. Take it and read it. And I even said, here, start with these books first. Feel the love of the Lord through these books first. And then tackle the hard stuff, right? So, he's got it. Off he goes. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Encourage, encourage, encourage. And just like you're doing, show the love. Show the love. Just like Brother Randy always says, it's love, love. Show them the love. All right, so that's what we're doing. Amen? All right, that takes us down to verse 13. And I'm going to read down through verse 15. Because we're trying to do all that stuff. But in verse 13, we find out, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, now he's talking to Timothy, but he's really talking to us too, isn't he? He's pointing us out too. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now he's talking to Timothy about his mom and his grandma, right? But he's talking to us about the Sunday school teachers and the Bible study teachers and the preachers and the evangelists and every place that we've been and heard the gospel and been encouraged to grow in the Lord. That's where we've been taught. Remember those things and lean on them when the times are tough. That's what you should do. So we've learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Without the Scripture, we wouldn't get it. We wouldn't understand it, right? That's where it is in the Holy Scriptures, able to make you wise for salvation through what? Faith. Faith is the victory. Faith. I feel like singing tonight, I guess, huh? Okay, so faith is the victory, amen? And we must keep the faith, even though I lose my place here, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. There is no other name but Jesus, right? We don't even think about anything else, right? Well, who are these evil men? They are false teachers claiming to know God's will. How do we know if they know God's will? By the way they do things, by their actions, by their teachings, right? They reveal themselves. Yes, sir. Yeah. Because they don't care about loving us. They care about who? Themselves. That's right. It's all about them. And so they talk a good talk, but they don't walk a good walk, right? Let's just say it like it is, okay? So evil men are false teachers claiming to know God's will, but they're leading anyone they may into destruction. Just before you go, drop off your goods at my place. That's really what they're saying, you know. They themselves are deceived. Did you get that? They'll grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So they're not founded in the truth, so they're also being deceived. Because they don't have a foundation, a firm foundation. So that's what they're teaching. Deceit. And leading their followers deeper and deeper into the enemy's deception. Satan is his name. Yes, it is. What's his deception? You don't need Jesus. You can handle this. I'll show you how. Just come on with me. No, we don't want to go there, do we? And we're not going there. Growing worse and worse means they will become better and better at deceiving. That's what that means. They're going to grow worse and worse, and they're going to get better and better at deceiving until what happens? They don't need to be deceptive anymore. They can just get right out in the open, treat you any way they want because they have full control. That day is coming. That day is coming. They won't need to hide anything. They'll just do it. We're almost there now. Curtis? Well, that's right. They're being deceived. Must be an echo in here, huh? Okay.
I mean, they're deceiving.
I think you get it.
Yes.
I think you get it. What's the only thing that will stop the deception? If they trust Jesus, if somehow the Holy Spirit breaks through to them and they get a good dose of Jesus. Amen? That's the only thing that's going to stop them. So they're growing worse and worse means they're better and better at being deceptive, the deceptive craft, and they become more numerous. Do you see churches growing by leaps and bounds today? What does that mean? They're going the other way. We need to do something, right? We have to get stronger at what we're trying to do for the Lord. Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:24, for false Christs. Not just false teaching, false Christs. They'll present themselves as Christ the Savior. I'll tell you, I had a crazy dream one night. It's been several weeks ago. And it was like a school, almost like a gymnasium, and it was just packed with people. And I'm trying to get through this crowd, and all of a sudden the crowd kind of opens up, like, you know, how when famous people start coming through, the crowd opens up. And the crowd opened up, and this guy came up, and I said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Jesus." I said, "I don't think so." But it was just a strange dream. But this reminds me of that. Somebody presenting themselves as Christ, trying to deceive. Don't fall for it, right? Don't fall for that at all. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders. They'll do those things. You remember the magicians in Egypt, right? They did great signs, didn't they? So demons can do things to fool you. They'll do things that'll make you think they're somebody they're not. So you can't take that at face value, right? They'll deceive, if possible, even the elect. Got to be careful. Once again, we hear what? But you, here's another warning, but you must continue in sound doctrine. Those things you've been learning all through the years that you're going to church. Even though you were in some places that you weren't real happy with, you still learned things there, didn't you? You take things away from you. Your spirit discerns and hangs on to the good stuff. And that's what you're hanging on to, the good stuff. You keep the sound doctrine. You keep the sound teaching. You study the scripture and you keep studying it. And your salvation and faith that are only found in Christ. You hang on to those things. Those are the foundations of your survival. Yes, your Christian life's survival. That's what we're talking about. You can't weaken. You got to stay strong. Got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Got to keep trusting the Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, right? You've learned that the hope of salvation is realized through what? Walking with the Holy Spirit. The activities of walking with the Holy Spirit. Thank God there's some good readers in this church. Amen? Just kidding with you. But what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's encouraging us to keep doing the things we know will build our spirits up in the Lord. Be wise in the Holy Spirit. Be wise in the Scriptures. Be wise in following the Lord. Amen? Amen. And then we come to verse 16 in the finishing of this, 17. And you probably have heard this before, right? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Do you know what that literally means? The original language? It's breathed out of God. All Scripture is breathed out of God. And that's why it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and that's a generic term for all humanity, men and women, that the man of God might be complete, thank you, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What's good work? How would you define good work? Spreading the word, working for the Lord, walking in the Spirit, doing what the Lord tells you to do, following the Scriptures, loving Christ, right? First commandment. Love the Lord with everything you are. That's how I say it. Love the Lord with everything you are and have. Second commandment. Same way, everything you are and have, right? Love them. So you're doing those good works because you're being trained by God's word. It's his word. Not what someone thinks his word is saying, his word. That means you got to do some digging in too, right? I mean, I thank you that you trust me somewhat, but you should be in this yourself, right? Digging away at it. You know, they sell commentaries. Not just one. Get a couple of commentaries. Get yourself a Bible with a commentary. Then you got three sources there. Then you're studying. You come up with an idea. It sounds like this. This is what this reminds me of. So then you check your commentaries and see if you're out in left field somewhere or if you're somewhat close. And you dig in, right? That's what I'm talking about. Digging in. Going to Bible studies and all that stuff. Listening to preachers. Oh, that's all good. But you need to dig in for yourself too, right? Don't give up on it. Keep digging in. Now, all means all. All scripture. That means the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's all coming from God. He breathed it out, right? All scripture is God's word given by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's breathing this stuff out. It comes from the Holy Spirit. God's word is the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, communicating with us. Comes right out of God for us. So you want to know what God thinks? Where are you going to find it? Right there in the scripture. That's where you go. Look there first, okay? And then if you shake your head and say, oh, I don't know what that means, then you dig in and start finding out. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit brings it. It's from the Godhead. It is the Father announcing salvation through His Son, which is revealed through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of equipping born-again humanity to do righteous work for God. Are they all involved? Father, Son, and Spirit? Yes. They're all involved in our lives. And we need to treat the scripture that way. And we need to realize that we are children of Almighty God, and we're serving Almighty God, and we need to make sure we're doing it right. Amen? What is righteous work? Well, it's anything you do that you're doing in God's name. Are you living life in God's name? Well, doesn't the scripture say that? Doesn't matter what you do, do everything to the glory of God? There's your answer. It's all righteous work because we should be living a life pleasing to the Lord. And you know what happens when you live a life pleasing to the Lord? It pleases others that are trying to do the same thing. That's why you all get along so well together, because you're all trying to please the Lord. And He's blessing that, and you're pleasing each other. And people come in here and they notice that. They notice it. And they'll even tell you that they notice it. Righteous work includes anything done in God's name by God's standards. Do it to His glory. That means you got to do it His way, right, Curtis? Can you say that a little louder? There you go. How am I going to have peace in the world? By serving God and having peace with Him. Then He'll make peace. Now, I'm telling you, you'll notice, if you're doing this, you'll notice that when you go places out in public and you know, there's a big crowd and all this, you'll experience the peace. And sometimes, and God will bless you, right? And sometimes you'll go into a place there won't be hardly anybody there. After you walk in, all of a sudden you notice the place gets real crowded. That's the blessing of the Lord following you. Right? Because you are blessing Him, He's blessing you back. And He's blessing wherever you go. That blessing is following you from walking in the Spirit and serving the Lord. God is good. I'm telling you, He's so good. We don't notice a lot of times when He's good to us. Yes, we do. We sure do. So we're doing things in God's name by His standards that draw people to a saving relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're doing all this. What is a righteous person? Well, try this on for size. Born again believer, by trusting God's grace, living and working according to God's moral standards. But you're doing that in God's grace, right? You're pleasing Him. Now, I want to say one more thing before we go on about Scripture, because it's kind of easy to get fouled up on, you know, Scripture, and it's God-breathed and all that good stuff. So I want to read something to you from Dr. John MacArthur, whom I hold in high regard. I really do. But I don't always agree with what commentators have to say. You can't just blindly agree with everything, right? I mean, if you're going to study, then you have to study. And sometimes you might disagree. So here's what he says about verse 16, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He says that this is like a couple of other verses that argue persuasively that translation, all Scripture is given by inspiration, is accurate for both the Old and New Testament. So it's the whole Bible, right? And it says, given by inspiration of God. Now this is the part where it kind of could get tricky. Given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out, or God breathed. Sometimes God told the Bible writers the exact words to say. And he gives one example, Jeremiah 1:9. God told him, write this down. And he wrote it, right? He didn't cite any others, just that one. But then he says, but more often he used their minds, vocabularies, and experiences to produce his own perfect, infallible, inerrant word. Now that part I agree with. I think God's Holy Spirit used those men who wrote the Bible. He used their personalities. He used their knowledge. He used their vocabulary. He used their personalities to get down on paper so that we can understand it. Because everybody doesn't have a high IQ up here, do they? Well, they might have a high IQ, but if they haven't been trained to use it, they won't use it at a high level. They'll use it at a low level. So Peter may have been a very smart guy, but he wasn't trained in, you know, grammar and stuff like that. So he wrote at a lower level. Granted, he was aided by the Holy Spirit. All right, so let me just cut this short because I'm kind of getting long-winded. I don't want to do that. He goes on and he says, more often he used their minds, vocabularies, and experiences to produce his own perfect, infallible, and inerrant word. But then he goes on and he says this. I'm kind of upset with this because it's confusing. He says, it is important to note that inspiration applies only to the original autographs of Scripture, not the Bible writers. So what he's saying is the inspiration comes on what got down on the paper. But the writers weren't inspired. And that's what I disagree with. He says, there are no inspired Scripture writers. To me, that leaves a disconnect in the process. The Holy Spirit comes, He is living in the believer, the writer, but that person isn't inspired. So I guess the inspiration skips the person and goes into the writing tool. Yeah, right. So there is some inspiration by the Holy Spirit. Right. He's inspired to write using the skills that he has to communicate what the Holy Spirit wants him to communicate. Curtis? What? Yeah, but he's more than that. He's alive and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is the one breathing out the Scripture. Right. Yep. So all I'm saying is that I don't know how a writer could write inspired scripture without being inspired. So I don't know what Dr. MacArthur was thinking about that day, but I think there's a disconnect in there. So I'm throwing that out there so you can think about it. You can tell me, well, here's what it really means, Dan.
I've actually got one of his commentaries on 2 Timothy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Okay. You look.
I don't know if I find anything different.
Good. I would be grateful to see it. Okay. That's all I want to make that point about. So keep studying the Word. Keep staying in the Word. Keep building that foundation, strengthening that foundation that you received from the Holy Spirit when you accepted Christ. Keep building it. Yes.
When Paul wrote this, the congregation didn't have the Word to study. So it's very important that the study Timothy did with Paul that shared with the people exactly as he heard it from someone who was inspired by God.
Okay, I can go along with that. They didn't have the complete Bible, they had parts of it.
Yeah.
Well, they may have had 1 Timothy, because this is 2 Timothy. So they may have already had 1 Timothy. And, you know, they shared these letters. They didn't just keep it, you know, and that's it. This is our letter. We don't share it. No, they shared it with the other churches. There are some letters that they shared that we don't have. They're not in the Scripture. But we know they existed because they're mentioned. But we don't have them. So the study of the Bible is all very interesting, and I encourage you to do that sometime. Yes?
I've always believed that these men that wrote God's Word, Paul's Word, inspired by the Lord.
I would tend to agree with that. Yes, Debbie?
Well, obviously the people themselves were inspired, because if it was just the pen or the instrument, then all of the four Gospels would be the same. There, you wouldn't see the differences in style.
Right. Right. The styles would not be different. The grammar would not be different.
Right.
The sayings in there. So I guess I'm making a big deal out of disagreeing with Dr. MacArthur. I don't know. Any rate. But the point is, you can't just take something for granted. Right? I mean, the man is well learned. I have a lot of respect for him. But I can't just say, yep, you're right. I buy it. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be Bereans, right? He wants us to study and dig in and make sure it is what it's supposed to be. Any other comments, questions, observations? All right, then let's go to the Lord. We'll be done for the night. Father, we're so thankful for your love and your mercy. We're thankful that today even your Holy Spirit still inspires us to get into the Scripture and read it and study it so that we can know what to do and how to do it so that it pleases you and it pleases others so that they'll want to know you, Lord. And it encourages our brothers and sisters that we're with. So, Lord, we're thankful that your Holy Spirit exists in our church and in us to keep us on track, living for you and encouraging others to get to know you more closely, and some for even the first time. Help us, Lord, to continue doing that. Bless what we do to further your name in the world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.